You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. If you're watching, you've already clued on that there's something a little bit different this time around. We kicked the boys out for this, the rest of this marriage podcast series that we were doing on The Kylo Show. And the ladies are taking over.
You know. Girls rule.
It's our turn.
Boys rule is something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, so you heard from, you know, we kind of did a little bit different style and outline. I wasn't in here when the guys recorded, so I think it's Dad never starts the show, so he had to do it on his own. I wonder if Finn took over my job. But so they were talking about what it means to be a husband, and we're talking about the other part of this thing of marriage, which is the wives.
Super fun because, well, I, being married to a preacher for so many years, I'm usually not the one talking. So I always want to say when I get when I finally get the microphone, like, brace yourself. Like, it's my turn. I have a voice too.
But, that's funny.
Yes.
So we're talking about, or at least going to kind of talk around. The title of this one is called the S word.
The S word. Yeah.
And so that whole submit, just what that word is and the context of it, and you know, actually in Genesis 2, when Eve's created, all that, her actual design is to be a helper. Which I don't know, when you read that verse.
You think of dishes and laundry?
No, I don't think of that at all. But that's what I was wondering, is like, what do you think of when you think about, you know, helpful opposite? Is I don't know how to say the Greek word for it. And I won't attempt it because there's too many letters in there together. It wouldn't be entertaining for anyone. Yeah. But what do you think about that as far as the helper role that she was originally, you know, that's what God made a woman for?
Well, the Bible also calls the Holy Spirit the helper. A helper will come, a comforter will come. And I that's kind of how I look at it. Like my role is to come alongside and be a companion and a helper. I do think that it is, you know, a lot of people have twisted it into this is the role that you have as a woman, as a wife, is very much, you know, a side note. It's just a side bar to whatever the man's doing. And I think there are some traditional roles that people get into. I'm not saying those are bad, but it's not a containment. It's not a boundary that you have to stay. You know, a lot of women, even in ministry, are in helping kind of roles, admin or children, or and part of it, that is gift mix a lot of time, not necessarily a, it can be a pigeonhole that you're stuck in, but.
The children's pastor.
Yeah, but the actual word, you know, helper for me is a, like the Holy Spirit, you know, which is a pretty big role.
Totally. I would say this, reading that verse, it's similar for me in that I look at how different Ben and I are in everything. Like we just went camping and that was on display. So I assist in the things that he isn't able to bring or doesn't bring. And part of that is just giftings or makeups differently. But the other part is as a woman and as a mother role and, and how you feed into that, you know. I was just laughing thinking about he's collecting the firewood. I didn't go out to do that. I'm like, that's your job. And I'm happy to make sure that we had all the food that we needed and I'm organizing that, I'm gathering that and I'm cooking and we're cleaning up and I'm making sure everyone's warm, you know, and he's concerned about those things too. But it does feel like the helper role is, you know, two equal parts assisting in the gaps. And the hard part for me with that, this beautiful design that God had for us in our roles, you jump down to Genesis 3 and Eve eats the apple and, you know, And you were...
Thanks, Eve,
uh-huh,
for and, being hungry that
and
day.
She just screwed it up from that point yeah. on. But after that, it says, you will, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.
Yeah.
And so another my Bible kind of translates like, you will desire control over him. And mm-hmm. and so what yeah. shift then was our enjoyment and our satisfaction and our peace with being the helper turned into mm-hmm. I want to be in charge.
Yeah.
I'm going to fight for a position that I no longer see as equal, that there's one greater than the other. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I see when I read that verse in Genesis 3 is the curse that came
yeah.
in that moment.
Which we're thankful for Jesus who changed all that.
Yeah.
But absolutely. That's very, I mean, you're talking about a very Old Testament kind of absolutely curse, an absolute curse. And then we revert to that. It almost seems that when we're struggling or mm-hmm. we feel powerless, we revert to that Old Testament control and, you know, rule over you. And it's very orphan spirit mm-hmm. stuff. It's my job to protect me. It's my job to get yeah. what I need from you, you know, because you're not doing it. So it's my mm-hmm. job. And yeah. It's just very, you know, there's Jesus made a way out of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful, you know, yeah. just even we go on to Ephesians 5, which is probably one of the most quotable scriptures, you know, mm-hmm. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. People stop there often. That's the end of that scripture.
That's done.
Wives, submit to your husbands. and the rest of it is as you do to the Lord, which is a pretty big submission mm-hmm. That the husbands have toward the Lord. Like if they're connected to Jesus, you know, for the husband is head of the wife. And that the head mm-hmm. is not translated as boss. Mm-hmm. You know, you that doesn't mean boss. The word there, head is really like headwaters. Mm-hmm. It's an actual source, you know, and Jesus is a source for man. And so it's completely messed up when it gets translated that way and used against women to keep them in their place kind right. of thing. That's why women get triggered when you say the word submit to your husbands, because if you're in a very dysfunctional relationship, there's a lot of pain involved mm-hmm. around that word, submit.
Right.
You know.
I do think about the, like you mentioned this before, our worst self, you know, when we're triggered or in pain, we go back to that Old Testament piece. It almost is when we come out of the alignment of being submitted to Christ and remembering mm-hmm. who he is and what he did for us, just like in miracles, just in signs and wonders, when we walk away yeah. from even that partnership with the Holy Spirit and we live in this place, we make the friction and the struggle in marriage so much harder.
Yeah.
Because we decide to live in the curse instead of living in our freedom.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Ephesians goes on to say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Mm-hmm. He gave himself. Mm-hmm. He gave himself up. And I think that selflessness, you know, that sacrifice, that's the way out of, mm-hmm. and love. I mean, the real connection or power in a marriage relationship is I love you. I love you above all things. I love you above conflict. I love you above yeah. all the problems we have with finances or kids or whatever. And if you're submitted to the Lord, it's easy mm-hmm. for me to submit or whatever
yeah.
to you, because we are in this together. We are partners. We're not... you know, there's not one, we take turns being the boss, and
yeah.
it's not like that.
You know? And that submitting yourself like we do to the Lord, it's, I'm going to trust you beyond my understanding. I'm going to, you know, we are, our heart and affections are turned towards the Lord. Like that's what we should be mm-hmm. postured as, and praising him and thanking him and being yeah. in this place. Like, and that's what the Lord's asking us to do as wives, is to stay in that place of gratitude and vulnerability. And, you know, we always joke that I'm a spicy woman. I don't know where it came from.
I don't know. It's clearly not from me.
It's just very confusing where it came from. And I love telling people that I feel that I can completely submit my life to Ben.
Yeah.
And he's done an excellent job of loving me like Christ loves the church. But it's that first part is so much my job of, can I do this regardless of what you're going to do?
Yeah.
Because that's my part to own. And if I don't show up as that in our marriage, I'm just adding so much hostility almost to this thing. And then that's where we land back at the Old Testament curse.
Yeah, gas on the fire. Mm-hmm. You know, it's bad when the husband's like, you need to submit to me. And then it's gas on the fire when she, you know, reacts to that. I, you know, growing up, I had a very powerful mom who was a businesswoman and all those things. And she struggled just in the world of men, just always working with someone that was a man that, you know, she had triggers. And I think there's a lot of women that have triggers, and I get it. My story in ministry is everywhere I looked, there was men in charge and there was no women leaders at the same level. And it was a long struggle to get that changed. But it did happen, but it was hard. Mm-hmm. But I think that trigger, and then you have abusive husbands. So I think there's women living in situations we know not of. You know, we have men that are submitted to the Lord, so we have a different experience. But I think even in my early days, I mean, if I even smell a hint of control, I'm reacting full force. I mean, that was kind of my go-to anyway, was we shared this before, but I wasn't like go away and think about it and come back with a great answer. I was like, let's roll, you know? And so I was definitely the gas on the fire, but in those early years, but there's just a lot of pain, and it's really the Kylo 5 of learning those kinds of tools so that you can communicate, because it's often a communication problem. The husband needs something. Mm-hmm. The only reason he would pull out the submit to me woman card is that was the last card in his deck, because he's at his wit's end, and so he's pulling out this thing, you know. And there's cultures I've traveled a lot. I've seen cultures where women are really oppressed, and it's happening still. In other cultures, it's happening in America, in the church often. But why is that husband powerless? Why does he feel powerless? And what can he do? What can they do about changing their communication style based in love and commitment and connection and all those things to get out of this cycle of abuse? Because that's how it feels. It feels like you're oppressing me. Mm-hmm. And anyone that feels like they're drowning is going to fight like crazy to get out of there.
Yeah, they fight like crazy, or they eventually just give in and give up and stop having vision, you know, and they become the powerless person. Dad wrote Confronting the Glass Ceiling of Women in the Church, Powerful and Free. Mm-hmm. And a lot of your story is in there of kind of what you had to fight for when you specifically talking about there weren't very many men or women in the same role as men in church, and just the scriptures and different things that kind of put on display the role of a woman in church and the legalistic and religious perspective and really I think what Jesus was intending and the empowerment of it as well. I think the other piece in submission for wives, like really being able to own our part of when we're not doing a good job of that. I think about the early days of Ben and I, when I defaulted back to kind of more of partnering with the curse and desiring to rule.
Yeah.
And being afraid. In my being afraid state, I would go in and try and control the situation. And we just had this conversation yesterday. We were driving home and I said, you know, I don't need anything from the situation. I won't give you details because I don't want to. So you're going to have to just go with whatever
keep
I say
it
here.
To yourself.
Uh-huh. But the whatever we were talking about, I could see that I was scared mm-hmm. of something, of a potential something. Well, and yep. and I'm like, oh man, I don't. But I think this is my insecurity. But if I hide it, my insecurity grows, and maybe it's just me. But if I hide this insecurity and then I keep encountering it, all of a sudden I'm punishing Ben for something that never happened, exactly. but it's very real because
yep.
my insecurity is so mm-hmm. loud. So if I do a really poor job of exposing my heart, submitting to him, letting him into those most vulnerable spots and saying, okay, this thing keeps happening and I have this experience, but I'm triggered, which I know is my own insecurity, and I know you are a godly man, you're a good man, all these things, but I don't know what to do with this. And he's like, do you need something? I'm like, I don't think I need anything. I just need you to know mm-hmm. where my heart is and my fear or struggle. And so in this place of this exchange, like we're actually before, I would totally just begin to punish Ben yeah. for something that never happened.
Something he didn't do.
And thinking that, you know, he has motives or he intentionally forgot to do this, or yeah. he was really...
You're faking.
He's so selfish. You know, he was... You know, I just think... I make up these stories yeah. because I allow the curse to take residence and I allow myself to be... Mm-hmm. to operate out of this place instead of going back into the, you know, the blood of Jesus and going, okay, this is what you died for. Yeah. You gave us this gift on so many levels. Okay, I'm going to partner with this truth rather than that lie. And we get to have this beautiful mm-hmm. conversation that just produces connection and more security to this place where I'm scared.
Yeah.
And I owning that role. Mm-hmm. Now, I know not everybody has a husband that's going to respond like Ben does.
Sure.
But I also think there's a lot of husbands that might actually, if we gave them better opportunities.
Yeah. I think that's exactly right. I know in our early days, I had a... you know, we would fight and often Danny would go into a protection mode mm-hmm. for others.
Yeah.
While I'm pitching a fit over here, he would step into like, I'm going to protect the kids from your anger, which hurt me like crazy. I just yeah. was like, I might as well be a slug and go, you know, dig in the garden here. A tomato worm, which is what I'm fighting at my house.
These things are gnarly.
And so it's through inner healing, mm-hmm. I realized I'm triggered when I don't feel protected. Mm-hmm. And so being able to communicate, yeah. I don't feel protected. And Danny had to get a revelation of you need protection because I'm scared.
You're like a giant cactus. One needs to be
that's
protected.
The T-Rex in the goat story he tells. I love that story. I love being a T-Rex. Somebody actually gave me a pet. I'm not a pet.
A pet T-Rex. I haven't seen that on the farm.
stuffed animal T-Rex, whatever. But once he had, mm-hmm. like she needs me to do have this different reaction. So when I would get upset, he would step closer to me, like trying to get close to, you know, a porcupine. But it would be like, what do you need right now? And me having to go inside myself and figure out what I do need. Mm-hmm. You know, when I health coach, I talk to people and one of the tools we use is stop, challenge, and choose, right? Mm-hmm. So I had to stop myself. Mm-hmm. I have to challenge myself to do something different and then actually choose that other way.
And choosing love over fear.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then as that muscle got stronger, we had less and less conflict because, mm-hmm. I'm in charge of me. Oh, you're in charge of you.
Those are rational thoughts.
Crazy revelation. But it really... That was the beginning mm-hmm. of so much transformation in our lives when we both owned our stuff. Because Danny realized, I am not protecting her.
Yeah.
And I don't feel protected and this is my trigger. So complete transformation after that. Yeah.
It's amazing when you get to come into both your roles how you're supposed to. So if I can submit and show you my heart and show you this place of I'm scared, I need protecting. And then we give them the opportunity to love us like Christ loves the church, which is our covering and our protector. We get to thrive.
Yeah.
Our best gets to be on display. Mm-hmm. And so much of that is being willing to stop, challenge, choose. I love that you used that. I remember that. And go inside yourself and think, what can I own? I mean, it goes back to being a powerful person. Yeah. And so much of this is I have to be willing to continue to do my work so that I can be really proud of what I say that I'm bringing to this, mm-hmm. instead of look to them as they're always to blame, which, I mean, early years of marriage, which is why I love doing young married stuff, because I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sweet thing. He's the problem. Yeah. Well, you know, you both are.
Yeah.
So let's watch you grow. Let's watch you develop. Let's mm-hmm. And so working with someone that's hungry to make those changes and adjustments and actually dig in, I get so excited for the potential of their marriage, mm-hmm. because I see two hungry people that are, you know, going to war with each other. But if we can help guide them to own your stuff, and on the other side of this, you know, you can have this beautiful mm-hmm. marriage. And I love being able to stay in my role. Like, to have that conversation with Ben, I'm like, oh, this feels like I'm a made up scenario in my head that's never going to happen. And I feel stupid for even talking about it. Mm-hmm. But it won't go away. So if I don't confront this lie, then it just begins to grow.
Yeah.
And that's so much of this submitting piece, this not understanding what the
Old
role
Testament.
Means. Mm-hmm. And I think really my heart for wives out there is don't stay bound to that curse. You know, right. Live in the freedom that Jesus gave us this other opportunity, you know? Yeah. And you know, do your job of that, mm-hmm. and, you know, control your freaking self, as Dad says. Worry about yourself and stop trying to worry about him.
Yeah.
So
absolutely
awesome. All right, we're going to dive into some questions, and we'll be back in just a minute.
As a business leader, what if you're doing people development all wrong? See, great leaders know the importance of investing in the human side of their business, but many either don't know where to start or they use traditional approaches that don't really work. Old training approaches like buying everyone a leadership book, bringing in a speaker, or doing a once-a-year offsite might feel good in the moment, but are often a waste of time and money. And that's because when people get back to work, they just slip into their old habits again. You see, personal growth, it doesn't happen all at once, it happens over time. That's why the new way to develop your people, strengthen your teams, and invest in your culture is to create an ongoing people development system, not a one-time event. But how? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I've got a free gift for business leaders that's going to help. I'm Charles Cowan, founder of the people development company GrowthStream. And we've discovered a simple but powerful four-step system that makes development easy. And we're giving away our secrets in a free training video. In this training, you'll learn how to develop your people in less than 1 hour per month using our simple four-step system. Plus, you'll learn how to do it yourself if you have time, or outsource it if you're busy. So if you're a business owner, HR manager, or leader and want to learn about the new way to develop your people, strengthen your teams, and invest in your culture, then go to growthstreamtraining.com to see the video before it's gone. Again, that's growthstreamtraining.com.
All right. Well, we've got some questions, so I'm going to go ahead and read those. But if you do have a question for us here at The Kylo Show, you can go to thekyloshow.com and you can record it. Always love to hear your voice. It's kind of fun for us. Or if you don't want to do that, because I get it, it's a little more intimidating, you can just direct message me or my dad. Ben and my mom are not necessarily going to always be on here, but... We could wait. We could save it for them. You could give it to them through their Instagram. But Instagram's a great way to do that. And yeah. All right. You ready?
Let's go.
So first question is, how do I submit to my husband when he doesn't have value for the Kylo 5 and doesn't understand when I talk with these tools? So it sounds like wife is read the books, doing the stuff. Mm-hmm. Husband has no idea and can't really... translate very well. What do I do? All right. Well, I would, you know, I think anytime I'm in a relationship with someone that's not familiar with this, I do adjust it to some.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I don't know that I feel powerless around you.
In chapter
you.
Four.
Yeah. I've memorized it all.
Yeah.
I think you can just adjust it to more generalized language, I think everyone really mm-hmm. understands powerless. But when you say, I feel powerless and I have a mess to clean up, people go more literal, like powerless, like you're weak and you have a, yeah. like you spilled something, you know? Yeah. So I wouldn't not use the tools. Mm-hmm. I just would adjust to, you know, make sure that he understands when you say that, mm-hmm. that it actually, he understands what it is that you mean by that. Because when I say I have a mess to clean up, I've said that before in parenting and they don't understand that it's not a
diaper.
Yeah. It's that it's a relational mess. Mm-hmm. So that's my first thought just on mm-hmm. not stopping using the tools, maybe just make adjustments or clarify.
Yeah. I would say make sure you're connected when you're having conversations.
Yeah.
That's part of the, you know, Kylo 5 is really make sure you're having that. But I think there are times when we need to use our I messages when we're talking and tell, maybe explain to someone how important it is that this thing you're learning is really mm-hmm. important to you and you would love for them to join you in it in some way. And I don't want a parent without you. I don't want to, you know, I want to have a relationship where we're working on our connection and the goals of our marriage together. And I remember just changing language. A few words helps. You know, I tell the story, but Danny likes to drive faster than me. Mm-hmm. And being able to say, you scare me, you know, I'm afraid right now when you drive like this, or rather than yelling at him and him saying, you're not my mother. You know, those were the fun days. Or even he used to be gone a lot. He was a foster care social worker. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, you're always gone. You care more about those kids than our kids. Ridiculous statement. But I don't get a great response when I come at him like that. But if I say, we miss you when you're gone, we need you here, I get a whole different mm-hmm. person. You know, that was back in the early days. But change your language, maybe mm-hmm. use your I messages. And should you submit to him? Well, if we're talking about an abusive situation, that's a whole different conversation. But just in general life with your husband, inviting him in to mm-hmm. join you on this journey using your I messages would help.
Yeah. I think the invitation, it goes a lot further than we're going to do a book study this summer. Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many ladies I have met with that say, I bought my husband the book, but he never reads it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that he has a problem yet. That's the other yeah. thing. You can't work harder on someone else's problem.
Absolutely.
They're willing to work. But you could pose it as, I want to be closer to you. I want to be more intimate with
yes.
you. I want to do this well. Mm-hmm. I think that I've hurt you. I think that mm-hmm. I've scared you, and I don't want to do that. So if we could talk on the same language, that might help. And the other thing I know I've worked with ladies that, you know, they've picked up every marriage book that you can find
yeah.
and put it in front of their husband.
Put it under his pillow.
Yeah. And those are, again, can be painful with someone that feels like they're already failing at something.
Right. It would be like, you know, I have a weight issue and my husband buys me a book on how to lose weight. Like, what?
Have a go over you can, well.
Here's this book back and I'll be throwing it.
That's your have head. That feel on your head.
That's very painful message to me.
Totally.
You know, and it's just like Danny's not super handy. Like he's great in the yard, but he's not a carpenter and he's not an electrician. And I remember
I married into
yes,
that.
Thanks for bringing Ben in. I remember one time saying to him, "Let's build up bookshelves in our living room." And he just looked at me and said, "Yeah, let's do something I suck at and put it in the middle of the living room wall."
So everyone,
I was like. Oh, I just didn't even, I just thought, oh, sure. We could figure it out. Because I was, you know, my dad was super handy, so he was always doing things.
Yeah.
He didn't do cars, but I just mean, it's the message and how it's sent is really important.
And I think that's the part to pay attention to is how the way you're going about this.
Absolutely.
Is it praising him to be better or is it trying to pull out or... you know, highlight
point out your weaknesses.
Yeah, what we suck at. And So I think your approach makes a really big difference. Yeah. And I know a lot of ladies have been really successful. You know, we just had our Kyler University, and a bunch of these ladies that came through, they changed themselves. Yeah. And the experience that they're having in their marriage is, it's confronting things, but mm-hmm. they're more assertive and feel powerful to bring change to their part of the relationship.
Yeah.
And it is got these men going, what? What are you doing?
Exactly.
And I for the better. And yeah. so there's some friction, because there always is when you change things. Mm-hmm. But the fruit of it is really powerful. And it's coming in a different way. It's I'm gonna work on me
yeah.
instead of trying to control you.
Right. So. I mean, I always say, own your story. Mm-hmm. Embrace your journey, change your future. I mean, you work on you. And while you're working on you, it's usually noticed by your closest
absolutely.
You know, family and friends. And so there'll be a time of invitation. And when this the question says, do I submit, I would say you should change that word is do I honor? And the word is absolutely yes, you should honor your husband,
yeah.
even though he's not reading the Kylo 5.
Yeah. All right. Next question we have, you referenced parenting, so it's funny. It says, yeah. my husband has a different way of parenting than I do. Mm-hmm. How do we become partners without feeling like I'm controlling him or telling him what he needs to do?
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
I mean, Ben and I definitely had a different way of parenting in the yeah. beginning. Well, I would say we still do, just because we're very different personalities. Mm-hmm. But we have the same goal and we have the same tools, which helps.
Yeah.
For me, I had to let go of control of trying to make it look the same way that I would do it.
Yeah.
Knowing that Ben wanted to do mm-hmm. a really great job.
Yeah.
And I had to trust that he'd get there. I get there faster just because I have a different level of grace, which we've all talked about.
Tolerance.
That before. Yes. That's a nicer word. But he's got so much grace and... So it just was different. But I also worked with ladies where the dad and their husband are scary
mm-hmm.
and not fun.
Yeah.
That's different.
I think that's a good point. Different parenting styles doesn't mean one's right and one's wrong. Mm-hmm. One, they're just different. I remember when you went to Australia for the first time and met Ben's family there. True oh, yeah. Aussies.
I was
and
17.
You're 17. And you would call me and say, it's so weird. They do that. It's just so weird. It's so weird. It's so weird. I'm like, quit saying weird, because it's just different. They're eating cold pumpkin, you know, whatever they're doing.
They're eating pumpkin.
yeah.
Not in a pie?
All
what
that.
Is that? What are we
they're
doing
eating
with
beans
this?
For breakfast, whatever it is. It's not weird. It's just different. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, what happens in, mm-hmm. and you do have, when you first get married and start having kids, you do have your normal that you brought into the marriage yeah. and styles that you learned, and you have to unlearn things. But this question kind of reminds me of when your kids start in school and you, as they start old enough and they start changing classrooms to different teachers, mm-hmm. that certain teachers have different control than another teacher. Mm-hmm. And it's the same child, by the way, going through all of those mm-hmm. classes, but they're a different child in every classroom because that teacher has a style that is working to keep them all under control and their disrespect levels low. Mm-hmm. And then there's the teacher that just can't get a hold of their class, and it's all the kids' fault all the time. There's blame. So if you move that over to the parenting style, even children that have to go from parent to parent mm-hmm. On weekends and all of that with custody and visitation, you get your yeah. kid is a different kid when they're with you than they are with the other parent. So the common denominator, you know, is the child, and then the ones that are changing is the one in authority. So, yeah, your husband or spouse can have a different parenting style. I'd be waiting for them to have a problem. You know, if you can't get the kids to do the things that you want them to do, and you see that, I mean, personally, that happened to me. Dad was going to school. Mm-hmm. I always have these way back stories, but you know, you kids were little, you're the oldest. And he all of a sudden, he didn't say a word to me. He didn't say, hey, I'm learning about this new parenting style.
It doesn't
and
sound
here's
like that
a
at
book.
All.
You know, he just started
silently testing out his theories that he's learning.
So he's
very dead.
using, you know, some of the tools of love and logic, like giving choices and all things like that. And I'd be like, what the heck is he doing over there? But you guys are responding. So it took about 6 months of that. And I had a sassafras attitude about it, of course, sometimes, but at first.
Of course, sometimes. That's my favorite part.
You can count on that in the early days that I was full of sass. I was full of disrespect, actually. But eventually I was like, what are you doing? You know, what are you learning? Learning new parenting styles often takes time and trial and error and, you know, giving choices and things like that. You give wrong choices, you know, you still didn't get anywhere with them because you gave them the wrong choices, you know. Having grace for each other as you learn. Mm-hmm. But I would say waiting for that parent to have a problem and then come in and be a help. Be a help to that problem.
Sometimes when they don't have a problem, but you're having a problem with the way they're treating the kids, you know, that becomes a marriage thing now. And that's when you get to say, hey, the way that you're talking with the kids, it's scary and it's hurtful. Mm-hmm. And I am having a really hard time feeling safe with what's going on. And that becomes a different conversation that you get to have, because all of a sudden it's now violating your relationship instead of your individual relationships with the child. And so being paying attention to, like, where does this actually fit? Are you just trying to control? Are you just trying to do it your way? Or is it now a marital issue that you should talk about of, like, I'm feeling scared. The anger, the disrespect, you know, it is now, I wouldn't let anyone talk to our kids the way that you're talking to the kids. So what do you need? How can we help you? Because this is, and that's, again, that becomes a different conversation.
Let's partner together. Let's gang up on our kids, basically.
What you guys did?
Yeah, gang up. We were outnumbered, so, you know, we had to get together. But I think saying, if there's something that's happening, let's pull together, you and I, and figure out the strategy around this particular problem that our kid is having, whether it's homework or bedtime or whatever it is. And just really just pull together and shoot at the target, not at each other. Yeah. You know,
that's good. Good stuff. All right. Our next question that we got was, should we give respect and submission to a man who hasn't earned it?
Again, the word submission and respect, I think most men, that is one of their triggers, is that disrespect is very, very painful. Mm-hmm. And but in that is, you know, should I give honor to my husband? Should I be disrespectful? You should ask the question to yourself, should I be disrespectful to someone who hasn't earned it? How do you feel about, should you be disrespectful to a teacher? Should I be disrespectful? Because you're going to have teenagers someday, and you're not always going to get the respect you feel like you deserve, for sure. No, the answer is yes, you should be respectful. Submission, I think, you know, laying in there, we don't know her particular situation, but, you know, if you're not safe, then there's boundaries that are really, you know, hard. I had a friend that actually, at some point in their marriage, she decided to never drive with him in a car again. They're married, raising kids, they're still married, but he scared her so much and would not adjust that they took separate cars everywhere they went. And that caused other problems. It's a money issue. It's inconvenient, you know, that two parking spots at the restaurant, I mean, all of it. But she set a hard boundary because he just would not adjust at all to her communication. How she was communicating, I don't know.
We don't know the part yet.
There are times for in cases, you know, some, you know, sometimes, you know, men are communicating poorly, and so it feels like they earned disrespect, but I don't think you're ever going to win. Mm-hmm. You're never going to feel good about it the next day, bring in that level of disrespect. So
I agree in that I think about, should you be disrespectful to the homeless man, to the police officer that gave you the ticket? I mean, where
are you?
Where
allowed?
Would you like disrespect back to you because you weren't very respectful? Mm-hmm. I mean, hello, put that on display. So I think about that. You should always be respectful regardless of whatever this person is doing. They have to earn it. I think that you live in that free space that we talked about in the New Testament versus the Old Testament and the curse. But there are levels and boundaries that come with that. Anytime I give you my heart or I'm extremely vulnerable and you violate that, well, that's not what the Lord is doing. So I'm going to live submitted to you as long as you're going to be honoring and nurturing towards me. But I'm not going to turn it off. This is that juggle.
Honor all people.
Yeah, and the struggle of keep your love on is I want to turn it off because you're scary.
Yeah,
I think the submission thing, you got to figure out what's the switch. Is it a dimmer that you've got going? Is it a hard on and off? Like, how does this work? Because submission to your husband, for me a little bit, is like keeping your love on. I can still have a boundary with you, and I'm still going to be honest, and I still desire to give this to you. But if you cannot take care of me, I'm not going to punish you for that. I'm just going to make adjustments until, like your example of them taking two cars was great. Very different, you know, than the finances or sleeping together. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to still show up and give this because that's what I'm called to do as a wife. Yeah. Oh, you can't handle that. Okay, I'm going to adjust this and hope that you get to have that back, that more vulnerable level. Not that you have to earn it, but that you are desiring and nurturing it, just like my heart. So
yeah, we don't deserve honor from the Lord. You know, it's not based off of how, you know, his love for us and conditions in our life make us feel unworthy, but he sees us as always worthy. Mm-hmm. And that honor level and, you know, honor all people, it's absolutely, that is the boundary. But vulnerability is different. I think if I'm in a relationship with someone that's always disrespectful or pulling out the submit to me, you know, control freak, you know, tactics, then my vulnerability to you is limited, because the more vulnerable I get, the more painful you are. Yeah. So I can still honor you and love you and communicate to you, but I'm not giving you my full self because I can't. I'm scared to. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be something that they need to know, that I would love, like you mentioned earlier, to be closer to you. I would like the goal of our marriage to be connection. And I want to give my full self. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid that you're going to hurt me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, you talked about the more extreme cases of abuse in. And so if there is extreme levels of control where you can't have access to your money, you can't have access to, you know, even your own body, you feel like you have to, you know, these are all things that are flirting in the abusive circle. So we're talking about, you know, being in the normal of I'm just withholding because I don't like how you treated me. Mm-hmm. So make sure you got some
you're not
clarity.
Punishing,
but
I am.
I'm withholding my submission and giving trust and communicating my heart and vulnerability because I don't like how you talked to me or you handled that situation, or I felt embarrassed or I felt scared. So I'm going to pull away. So it feels very similar to keeping your love on.
And there's, at some point, people need some help out of that.
Yes,
it's beyond reading a book or listening to a podcast. It's you probably need some professional help if neither one of you can be honest. Mm-hmm. So you need a ref, you know, and that's okay.
Totally.
That's okay. I think
we didn't pay for all of our refing that you guys did. If anything, we are very indebted to.
Yeah.
We paid maybe in grandkids. I don't know if that's I don't know if we've got it.
That's gold bricks right
there. Yeah, I figure that's how we even the debt. But I don't know that Ben and I paid for counseling. Ben had different seasons where he's seen somebody. I've seen somebody. But growing up in this wealth, I think We've been submitted to leaders our whole life. And I think that's health is let me go and show somebody because clearly I can't see the problem.
Mm-hmm. You know? And, you know, when Danny first started doing counseling, he would sit with women that had gone to their pastors and their pastor said, you need to submit to your husband. Don't find one of those kind of counselors. find a counselor that is equal in your roles and find one you both agree on. But, yep.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is a good conversation. Thanks for talking about the S word with me. Mm-hmm. And again, we are excited about just hopefully challenging you ladies out there in the wives role to be brave enough to look at your stuff and to, you know, ask hard questions and to keep your love on and keep pressing in and not living in the curse, but living in freedom.
Yeah.
And because whole healthy people create whole healthy families. And that's what we're all about here at the Kylo Show.
Yeah. And if you want some extra help, go.
Go find family coaching.
Go find family coaching.
Yeah. We love to help people over there for sure. All right. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Allie Armerding, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineered and edited by Taylor Silk and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.